Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 25th February, 2020, Tuesday class. So let us get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavanta Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Musawada Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we are chant the padipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina. Tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodhang Gandha sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna gandha guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me yo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bhante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bhante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bhante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Then we turn to page 5. Huh? We will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering that we had just made. Huh? Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Then making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further developed, strengthened until they become balas or powers, and sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. You are Kok Lun's friend, is it? He told me you are coming. Make yourself at home. So that is just a chanting book. After the meditation, we will still chant the other part. We are at page 6, I think. So for the time being, we will have our meditation half an hour. So they were off the light. So for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who are new or who need instruction, I will give you some form of simple instruction so that you know how to develop this type of awareness-based meditation. It's very easy when you understand. You just relax body and mind. Most important support is relax. Both your body and your mind, feel it soothingly, relax. Relax means no problem, no worry, nothing. Just tell the thought, you are here to train the mind to develop the meditation. So whatever thinking that come and distract you, you tell them, wait, later, after the meditation, after the class, then only you attend to it. Then it will not disturb you. Okay. So what I will do is, I will brief you a little bit on the meditative understanding. According to the Buddha, living being, their mind, they have a lot of mental hindrance. And these mental hindrances are stated in the Buddha's teaching. There are 5, the Buddha say, mental hindrance that hinders our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness. So because of this mental hindrance, most people cannot meditate. When you sit, close your eye, the thought straight away proliferate, or you think a lot, your mind cannot settle down. The 5 mental hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, means sleepiness of mind, or lethargic mind. Then number 4 is your mind is restless. Restless in the sense that it's not able to settle down. Either you have worry or problem. That's why you have this type of restlessness of mind. The mind that is not quiet, not peaceful, has a lot of worry, anxiety, restless, think a lot, doesn't listen to you. The last one is doubt. So any of these mental hindrance, they are very negative towards meditation. So when they arise, just understand that these are mental hindrance. According to the Buddha, don't fight it, don't like force it, suppress it, or control it. Just let it be. Whatever thought that arises, let it arise. Every thought that arises will pass away. So if you just relax and maintain awareness, means be attentive, observe, no thinking, just relax, aware. Then let whatever emotion or thought or whatever that arises, let it pass. Then if you do not pay attention, you just maintain awareness, aware, finish, aware, finish. No need to know. Just let it be. Then your mind will settle down very fast. Settle down very fast. Then you can meditate very easily. So the first technique that you can apply is based on what I have explained to you. Let the mental hindrance be. Do not do anything. Just let it be. Then if you let it be, you don't create negativity of thought process. You don't label it as something you like or you don't like. Means the duality of pleasantness and unpleasantness will not arise. But the moment you label, it becomes mental hindrance. It's either a sensual desire that you like or it's a mental hindrance, ill will that you dislike. So just let things be. Yeah? Relax, maintain awareness. Yeah? That is the fastest way. So every time you do this, your mind will settle down. Sooner or later, the thinking will slow down until it becomes very quiet and very still. But if you are new, for most people who are not trained, who don't have the skill developed as yet, you may not be able to do it. Then I will teach you another skillful means. We call it the mind sweeping method. This one is easier to do. You just relax body and mind, silent everything. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then relax body and mind. Open your eye or close your eye, up to you. If you are more comfortable closing your eye, you just close your eye. Then you just feel, don't think, feel. Feel your forehead. We call this the mind sweeping method, starting from the forehead. Feel. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you can sweep this down to your eye muscle. Again, feel, relax. Then sweep it down your facial muscle, each and every strand. Feel, relax, feel, relax. By doing so, you actually decondition the thinking. Without thinking, you just feel and relax. Then you become very calm, very peaceful. This is a good way to decondition your mental hindrance or heedless thinking. So maintain that. Then in order to let you relax more, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror. Facing a mirror. Radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, you are relaxed. There is no tension, nothing. So radiate a radiant smile. Then after that, you can recite metta, loving kindness, following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you repeat this metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite well and happy, you must feel them, the well-being inside your body and mind. Then you can extend it. May my body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this metta to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends. Yeah? Also to all beings within the whole of SS2, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Mother Earth, and extending it to all beings within our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and finally to all beings throughout the entire universe. May all beings be well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel, relax. Then you sweep it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your awareness or your attention to your chest area, heart area. Silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration or the heartbeat, just stay there. Maintain awareness, relax and stay there. But if you are new, if you are not sensitive, you cannot, then never mind. Just let things be. You just feel like you feel your forehead. Wherever there is any tension, tightness or stress within, just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you do the same, you sweep it down to the stomach area, feel, relax again. Then you sweep it down to your abdomen, feel, silent, relax. Then you move it down to your buttock, silent, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method or technique. From the buttock, feel, relax. Then you sweep it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your stomach, feel, relax. Then move it up to your heart area or chest area, feel, relax. Then move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then you move it up, sweep it up to your facial muscle, strand by strand, feel, relax, feel, relax. Then when you reach your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax, feel it soothingly, relax. Then finally you go back to your forehead, relax, feel. If there's any tension, tightness or stress within, just relax, relax and relax into it, feel it soothingly, relax. You'll find it useful, you can repeat it one more time on your own. But if it's already calm enough for you to develop the meditation, then you silence everything and try to maintain the awareness. The awareness will bring about the silent mind, the calmness. It is just aware, very quiet. Then this silent mind or quietness of mind is actually your true mind. But the thought come in very fast and you cannot maintain the awareness. So the best way is to develop another technique to anchor this mindfulness or awareness. The Buddha called it mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati. So this mindfulness of the in and out breath is very simple. According to the Buddha, you silent everything, feel your breathing in front of your nostril, just feel. Whenever you can detect your breathing, you just maintain awareness. Means the breathing and the mind move as one, like the Buddha's instruction. Breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. Now just do that. Every time the mind wanders off, just patiently bring it back. Come back to your nostril attention. Then repeat again. Develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. So every time the mind wanders off and you are no longer mindful of the breathing, then you come back and try. Get it right through a few repetitive training. If you are patient enough, within 5 or 10 minutes, this anapanasati will gather momentum and become very stable. Yeah. So when you are able to do it, you will experience a type of calmness within your mind, born of mindfulness or sati or awareness. When this spiritual peace or spiritual calmness arises, the Buddha called it piti. You will experience piti, a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual joy. When you experience it, you continue to relax into it and silence everything and just allow the anapanasati to go on, to stabilize, until your anapanasati become a part of you, until it is very, very stable, or very clear. And then you can develop the meditation. So I will let you train your mind. Yeah? Then when piti arises, if you relax some more, it will transform to a more refined state called sukhang. Then finally, you have to develop it until your mind becomes very quiet, very still, until there is no more movement. That is the mind entering paucity or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. You're supposed to develop the meditative training until the mind enters sati, until you can realize the silent mind or the true mind. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after the half an hour is up. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have had enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then these are the mind states that you may need to develop the daily mindfulness. The daily mindfulness is very useful and very important. That is the ultimate meditation. Turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunanto sakkamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttarang urisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato sakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Okay, Bedang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax and maintain some form of attention. Then we will start our sutta class. We are following this book, The Buddha and His Teaching by Venerable Narada. We are at this page 654. 654. Okay. Oh, sorry. I think 655. From 654. When can we, what can be endured is easy, means when you have sukhang or happiness, when you are at ease. But what is difficult to endure is dukkha, the painful aspect of life. So, the last pair of duality or eight types of worldly condition, they are happiness and sorrow, or happiness and pain. So, according to the author, it is easy to endure happiness. But when it comes to sorrow, painful things, painful experiences, it's not so easy. So ordinary happiness is the gratification of a desire. No sooner is the desire thing gained than we desire for more kind of happiness. So desires is insatiable. So insatiable are our selfish desire. Our craving, the enjoyment of sensual pleasure is the highest and only happiness of an average human being. There is no doubt a momentary happiness in the anticipation, gratification and recollection of such materialistic pleasure highly prized by the sensualists, but they are illusionary and temporary. The meaning is, it is not what you think. Whatever that you experience, they will not last. That's why the characteristics are impermanent. And because it is a condition arising phenomena, dependent on condition in the arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. So if you can see it's impermanent, then you will understand that all this you cannot hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and try to own them. Because condition existence are impermanent. When you cling, you attach, you suffer, because suffering will arise when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. Then the next paragraph is, can materialistic possession give one genuine happiness? If so, millionaire would not think of committing suicide. In a certain country which has reached the zenith of materialistic progress, about 10% suffer from mental disorder or disease. Why should it be so? If materialistic possession alone can give genuine happiness. I think this topic is quite a relevant topic in life for us to discuss. Most human beings, they are attached to materialistic possession. So many people believe that if they have money, they have the means, and they can buy things that they like, they will be happy. Do you believe that? Ladies, I think, will believe more, because they like clothing, fashion, jewelry, and all those things. So most people, when they are young, they look forward to having the means, means the wealth, the money, the ability to buy those things, own those things, and have those things, thinking that by having them, it can bring about happiness. To a certain extent, maybe it's true initially, but the way living being go about doing it is very different, where they develop attachment, craving. So attachment and craving can actually be very harmful to most human beings. Take for example, nowadays, fashion or the latest model of handphone. Then you also have these people who love car. When there's a new series or a very nice looking car, high performance car. So people develop the craving, the desire to own them, to have them, to give it a try. So it will condition them to work towards their ability to buy them, means to have the money, the means. And most people suffer because whatever they try to own, before they can even take care of their monthly requirements, pay for their monthly subsistence and all those things, they left with not much saving. But most people, the younger generation especially, they don't really look at things that way. They will go and buy first, especially if there is installment. Otherwise, they will go and use their credit card. They will use their credit card, buy. Then after that, when the payment is due, if they have the means, they are okay. If they don't have the means, it will lead to credit card problem, debts, and all those things. Then nowadays, there are so many things that the younger generation, especially because of peer pressure, I believe, you do not want to lose out to your friends or your colleague. So even planning for their wedding. Now this wedding is not cheap. Tell me you know that. You don't know. In China, they told me you have to spend about 100 or 1,000 RMB just to have a reasonable marriage, not a lavish one. Malaysia, cheaper, I think. The dowry is how much? Standard dowry in Malaysia. Nowadays, not so cheap. My time, 2,000 ringgit. Nowadays, I think much more. Now, 2,000 ringgit cannot buy anything. Then, when it comes to the wedding, last time we can borrow the wedding gown. Then, for men, very simple. Then we can have simplified weddings and dinner and all those things, then most of the time, because our society and tradition, make sure that you won't lose much. Because people come with ang pao, people come with gifts, then they congratulate the couple. So during our time is easier, but also not cheap. Because to get married, you have to prepare quite a lot of things. Then you have to confront your in-laws too. To get that permission, not easy. Then on the actual day, I saw nowadays the wedding. Wow, the bride side, very tough to go into the room and receive the bride. Not easy. They put in a lot of conditions, games and all those things, and make you sweat. Then after that, knock on the door, they ask for ang pao. How big your ang pao is and all those things. But the younger generation take it as something fun, nice. Then they have the video, they have the photographer. Then nowadays you can go to the wedding studio. They plan everything for you, including honeymoon. Wedding photos also can cost you a fortune if you are not careful. So what happens is, they will tell you, you want fully local or you want to incorporate overseas. They can actually plan for you overseas trip and take all the photos for you. Then when it comes to the actual wedding day, you got many pieces of wedding dresses, especially the lady. The wedding gown is of course standard. Then after that, evening gown. Then you got your other title, don't know what, gown. But for men, more simple. But some also really make it. Because the trick is, they always tell you, once a lifetime you do it, you better spend. Then, of course, the bride, when money is not paid by them, they will always say, yeah, we should go for it. The package is interesting. But nowadays, a lot of second generation kids, I think, they are quite lucky. Yeah, the parents help in many ways. I have seen many couple who got married. Well, the parents can afford. So what they did is, during their wedding day, they make sure all the brothers, sisters, everybody, not only the bride and the bridegroom, go and make new dresses. Well, everyone, including the children's girlfriend and boyfriends. Because they want to make it grand. So you have the means, you can. You can. But the question we are asking is about the teaching, the Buddhist teaching. How do we see all these things? What's your view? What is your understanding? If you have the means, do you want to have it? You sure want to have it? Unless you very calculative. There are two or three ways to look at things. Some, they are willing to spend, where they say it's once a lifetime thing. Where after that, even if I become very wealthy, I cannot do it anymore. But then they say, you can have another one. So, it depends on how we look at things. But materialistic possession is something that we have to understand. You have the means, the condition, then it arises, then you can afford it. Why not? But the teaching is based on one very important advice and understanding. Do not create attachment to all these things. Understand that the materialistic things, they are condition arising, cause of phenomena, dependent originating. When the causes and conditions are there, you can afford that it arises, you can own them. But when you cannot afford, there is no condition, you can't. But some people, because of the craving, the desire, they go and borrow money, they go and look at, then they go and get themselves in debts and all those things. Sometimes the honeymoon also, the credit card, they have to load it until 2 or 3 credit cards have to pay every month minimum charges. Otherwise, they cannot afford. So when it comes to life, we need to develop understanding. Different people have different understanding. So I don't know about you all. Those already married one, no need to say. I think already. Those not married one, still got time to develop the understanding and plan. Personally, my understanding is you can afford have a good wedding. Then you can afford, you can own them. There is nothing wrong with that. But don't attach, don't indulge. When you cannot afford, no condition, you also have the craving and desire to own, then it becomes a problem. So to avoid suffering, to avoid unnecessary debts and problem, the Buddha's teaching is very good. The Buddha always teaches us contentment. Contentment. So when you are contented with life, you don't compare. You don't subject yourself to peer pressure or those things. In our dialect, we call it kiasu attitude. Especially Singapore, Singaporean, they say kiasu, must not lose to you. So that peer pressure and all those things. Then even nowadays, I think China also same. Oh, I think all over the world, you can see them. So contentment is a very good virtue. If you are contented with life, you don't crave, you don't desire, then you don't have to subject yourself to all those peer pressure and try to have them, and maybe to you is the they say what I been in English is what what is it, the word in English, you want to maybe show off to people, show off to people that you also can afford. You want to maintain your reputation. But not everybody are born lucky, born with that type of fortune and means. So the Buddha's teaching, the main aim is to understand life, to understand materialistic possession. Because all this you cannot take away finally. You don't really own them. Then whatever that you pay a lot, after you have them, you will very quickly lose interest. Especially those who don't value things. You know what is value thing, isn't it? When you value that thing, then when you suddenly have the means to have it, or maybe lucky in the sense that windfall and all those things, that suddenly happen, you will treasure it and you will be very, very happy because you never dream you can buy them, you can have them. Then suddenly it comes. That is very meaningful. But you can get it too easily. Most experiences in life is things that you can get very easily, you don't treasure them, you don't really you don't appreciate. Then there is another word. What is it already? You don't cherish them. Understand? Appreciate also good word, but cherish is very good. You cherish it. Because you know this is not easy to come by. Then the moment you have it, you feel so good. Then you really cherish, treasure it. But don't attach to it. Understand? When there is no condition, if it's stolen, or it's something that can break, broken, what can you do? You lament also, no use. Understand? We have happened already. So, learn to have the wisdom to understand all these things and see the reality. So when you develop this understanding, you can live life very differently. Then you can have things, you can own things, but you will not suffer. But if you don't have this Dhamma understanding, when you are given all these things and you attach and cling to it so strongly, then when condition becomes different and you lose it or it's taken away from you or something happened, that thing is gone or damaged, you become miserable. That's why attachment is a delusion. You cannot own things technically. The Buddha used to share this understanding. He said only the fools lament because they think everything is real. So they will say, my wealth, my possession, my property, my money and all those things. But the Buddha say, all these are not what you think. He said, only the fools lament. Because that body of his also doesn't belong to him. If he can't even own his own physical body, then how can he own things? Wherein's wealth, wherein's son, and wherein all those prized possessions, money and all those things. So these are the wisdom that the Buddha tried to teach the living beings. When you see the reality of form and mind, our physical body and mind, as a human, then we will not be so foolish. Then we really go all out to develop the understanding of life. When we understand life, we know how to live life. So this is the teaching that can give you this type of understanding. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very unique. Is a teaching that teach you the wisdom to understand life and to live life so that you will not have to suffer in life. Suffering need not be when you develop this understanding and wisdom. And this teaching is actually based on nature's law, very easy to understand. Basically, the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. That is the essence of his teaching. And when you understand this Four Noble Truths, it's like you understand the secret of life and you will know how to live life. The Four Noble Truths is very beautiful, like what we have gone through. The first Noble Truth is the Noble Truth of Dukkha, or suffering, prevalence of suffering. According to the Buddha, within existence, within life, the reality of life and existence, suffering is everywhere, prevalence of suffering. And he summarized all of suffering into eight reality. And this eight reality covers the whole spectrum of mundane life, the conditioned world's life, or existential life. The first four, I think as Chinese we are quite familiar. He said, when you confront old age, sickness and death, including birth, old age, sickness and death, if you confront them without wisdom, you will suffer. You will become afflicted, miserable. So these four are more easy to relate to and develop the understanding, especially getting old, getting sick and die. Then birth, when there is complication also, it brings about a lot of suffering. Then the fifth one is a common reality. Separation from loved ones, from our wealth, our possession, things that we hold on to dearly. So separation can happen in many ways. So one of the ways is during economic crisis, when you have problems with business, problem with the country's economy, like what we have gone through, currency crisis, mortgage crisis, then nature's disaster. So all this can bring about separation. You may lose your wealth, your investment, because stock market may collapse, property may collapse, property market, and many other businesses which are dependent on the economic cycle. So during the downturn, economic crisis, a lot of people get into trouble. So that separation can be very traumatic. Then of course death, separation because of death. Death can happen in many ways. Natural death, then some are disease, sickness. Nowadays there's a lot of very traumatic disease. They talk about heart attack, stroke, HIV. Then now coronavirus. Earlier on was SARS, Nipah virus, and all those things. So many things can actually bring about disease leading to sickness, death, and all those things. So death of a breadwinner, death of a loved one also bring about separation. And this can be very, very traumatic. Then the third one is relationship failure. When the marriage or the relationship does not work out the way you expect it to be, then divorce can happen. Or mutual separation between unmarried, I don't call it couple, you call it what? Girlfriend and boyfriend. So especially when you are dumb, when the other party doesn't want to continue the relationship, and you cannot accept that reality. So separation can also occur in this way, means relationship and marriage failure. That's why you have divorce, you have all the various type of forced separation. Then forced separation is also quite traumatic. Sometimes due to economic conditions, circumstances, they have to give away their children. Then sometimes because of nature's disaster, war, riots, or even earthquake, or even tsunami or something, then you get separated from your loved ones, especially war. So this reality hit a lot of people. Then the sixth one is when you are with people whom you don't like, especially mother-in-law, father-in-law. Then some is career, within the office environment, working environment. When you have bosses that are not so friendly, you are forced to bear all those harassment that come from there. And nowadays, even in the office, you heard about sexual harassment. Then there is also this management by what they call fear. They put fear in you, then they harass you. So when you are subject to such condition, you can become miserable. On the one hand, you're scared if you don't comply, you will lose your job. If you comply, you develop unhappiness, full of fear, worry, misery, and all those things. So to cope with this type of reality is not easy. Then number seven is, the Buddha said, when things don't go your way, your expectations in life are not met, it also bring about suffering, when you cannot get what you want. So the reality of expectation is actually very traumatic and very real, very true. A lot of time, as an individual, even when we are going through the career life, we expect to be promoted. You don't get promoted, somebody else get promoted. Then you expect your spouse to understand you, but you didn't receive the understanding from them, and you become disappointed. Yeah, they take you for granted. Sometimes they will tell you, that's what spouse are for. You are married to me. You say, all the household work you're supposed to do, why are you complaining? Then especially the working career lady, they say, only you work, I also work. Why all these things? You must specify that the housewife must do housework. Then there is also other conditions that can bring about suffering. Especially among brothers, sisters, close relative and relationship, where you expect them to understand you, you expect them to love you, but you are also not doing your part. So through your own selfishness, you reacted to what you cannot receive. The expectations are not met. So this seventh condition is also very common. But the final one is attachment to the five aggregates of form and mind. The Buddha summarized all of suffering. He said, when we believe that this human form and mind, or our so-called body and mind, is real, and when you believe this is real, you have problem, the Buddha said. Attachment to this five aggregate of form and mind is dukkha, suffering. So that is the final summary. So we have to analyze, who are we, what are we, what is this so-called five aggregate of form and mind that the Buddha mentioned? Upadana kanda, the grasping aggregate. First aggregate is the physical body, is it? You attach to this physical body thinking that it's you, what will happen to you? This one easy to understand. Because you will worry about it, getting sick, getting old, and die. Because you believe this is you. But when you meditate and develop the understanding that this is not you, your understanding free your mind, then you can confront this reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death. The reality of this form, this physical body, they go the way of nature. Within this body, without the consciousness, it's just the four elements. So how can the four elements be you? That understanding will give you the initial wisdom. Then like the Buddha said, this body of ours go the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So all this understanding is in the first Noble Truth teaching. Then the five daily contemplation. So all this together with all the other essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, you develop a lot of understanding. Then your mind, through all this understanding or wisdom, become different. Then you understand life. So the first noble truth already so powerful explained to you what life reality is. And this reality that you experience, the Buddha say each and every one of us, if we live life long enough, we also experience. You are not the only one. The whole world, every living being, they will have to go through. So the difference between a person who understands life and don't understand life is very, very big difference. The one who don't understand, when they confront them, they will become afflicted, suffer, miserable. The one who understand, like the Buddha says, suffering need not be. When you have the wisdom, the understanding of his teaching, you don't have to subject yourself to any of this suffering. You can confront them with wisdom and understand all this and liberate. You can stand above. So that understanding is most important as human beings. We need to understand the teaching. So the first noble truth reality is to explain to you what life is all about. And when you confront them, can you really develop the wisdom not to be afflicted, not to be affected, so that you don't suffer. If you can live a life without fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, you are very beautiful. You have wisdom. But most people can't. They tend to have many moments in life. They live in constant fear, worry, anxiety. So sometimes, when things don't go their way, sorrow and lamentation. Then nowadays, I don't know why, a lot of young people get depression. Their life becomes so miserable, they become depressed. And depression is a very common sickness nowadays. And because of that, I think many younger generation students, they study psychology. Also, that the other field is what? Psychiatric. To be a psychology or a psychiatric. Psychiatrist. It seems this is a good occupation, they say. You will do very well. A lot of people need this type of consultation and treatment. What is it? Yeah. Oh, wow, that one is a very good one. You better repeat it on the mic. Tammy got this understanding.
I heard that a lot of psychiatrists, they commit suicide.
Yeah, very true. I heard of that too. So you think psychiatrists can help you solve your problem. You go there, you may not actually benefit much unless the psychiatrist is a good one, well trained. But do you know why they themselves also have problem until they commit suicide? Tell me, yes.
Last time I attended Belita, they teach people how to counsel those anyone that give
correct.
And then they do train them, and then they have this, like after they work for like 6 months or a year or something like that, they need to have 3 months rest to clear their mind, and then they need to have a support group so that in case there anything, you know, sometimes
tell them that
they also like keep in their heart, and then they cannot,
because they are conditioned. Do you know why? Every day listen to this type of patient, understand? You yourself also become like them, unless you have the Dhamma and the wisdom. Not easy to handle. But these are the people who have a lot of problem, and there are a lot of NGO. Even Buddhist society and Buddhist group, they have this division, like what Tammy said. They teach you how to counsel this type of people, depressed, sick people with problems and all those things. And sometimes when they call you, it's not easy to handle if you are not trained. But if you are trained, you don't have the Dhamma, also not easy to handle, because you yourself become like them. You cannot come out of it. Like Tammy say, after 3 or 6 months, you need to rest for 3 or 6 months. Otherwise, every day you receive this type of phone call and complaint. Then it's not easy to handle, especially if they don't have the understanding and the experience. For me, I was lucky because after I understand the teaching in the year 1989, so over the past so many years, especially the last 15 years, a lot of this type of case. A lot of this type of case. Most of them are depressed, very severe depression. And depression, the easiest sign is what? They cannot sleep. Insomnia. And that thought, that's why the doctor call it OCD. You know what is OCD? It's a type of disorder. Obsessive and compulsive disorder. Means that thought become obsessive, very obsessive. Keep on, the thinking keep on repeating. Then very compulsive. Keep on wanting to come into your brain, your mind, and tell you a lot of this type of unhappy thing. That's why you become a cocoon of thought. You keep on recalling. Then you become very miserable, very depressed, afflicted, full of anger, hatred, jealousy, sometimes remorse. Because you keep on thinking. And that is what attachment is all about. The Buddha said, this is attachment. It must be something from the First Noble Truth that hit them. Then they end up like that. So most of the cases are separation, divorce case, boyfriend, girlfriend one. The other one is career. They cannot cope with the career life. So then they become depressed, afflicted. So according to the Buddha, it's very simple. He said, if you understand the Four Noble Truths, your problem is no more. So I only spoke on the First Noble Truth just now, the reality of life existence. And that is to let you understand life first. Then the Second Noble Truth, the Buddha zero in on the cause of the problem. He said the cause of suffering is craving. Craving born of self-delusion. And craving is the cause of attachment, grasping, clinging. Because when your mind crave, when you want things your way, which is not nature's way. So, relationship failure, career, health, whatever the reality that we have gone through just now, they are all related to your fear, born of delusion, craving, born of your self-delusion, where you think you exist, you think you are real. When you cannot get what you want, you suffer. Then when you cling on to things, attach on to things, want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will become afflicted, miserable, unhappy. So the Buddhist teaching is a very easy to understand or comprehend type of teaching, where it's about truth, it's about nature's law. You can understand it. It is not something mystical. So when the Buddha say attachment, you don't fall into the trap of many so-called Buddhists. When they have problem, somebody have problem, let's say career problem, relationship problem, or financial problem, or health problem. Because it's not your problem, it's somebody else's problem. So the advice is very standard one, no? Attachment law. Why attach? Let go lah. I tell you, you fall into that trap. You yourself, when you confront it, you also cannot come out. Like, I remember last time Yun Chan used to tell me, bring to other people's problem very easy. Advise them. Don't attach it, let go. But when it comes to your own one, that one is real test. But when you have developed the understanding and the Dhamma, you can do it. You must see clearly that the form and mind is not real, impermanent, empty, non-self. You attach, cling, grasp, and want things your way. When you cannot get what you want, you suffer. Attachment is where you desire thing, crave for thing, when you want thing, but there is no condition for you to have. And that is attachment. There is craving. There is desire. Because the Buddha says whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So if the causes and conditions behind, the causes and conditions are this way, the end result is already the way it is. Means, you have to understand the causes and conditions behind the arising of anything. Like you want to own thing, have thing, possess thing, or become successful in life, in whatever you do. You have to plant the causes and conditions for it to materialize. Do you understand? You have to work towards it sincerely, truthfully, honestly. Don't go the crooked way. And this one is governed by the nature's law of karma. So when you understand that there is a law that governs life and existence, then you have to understand this law. Well, the law of karma say you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. So if you want to have the good life, you have to plant the seed of virtue, goodness, and wholesomeness. Then you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness, virtue, and goodness. But you plant the seed of evil, means you simply do things. You don't keep your precept. You kill, you harm, you deceive. You cause a lot of suffering to fellow living beings. Then the result of those actions or speech that you have developed or hit out at other people will bring about the friction, so that in future you become the victim and people will do all those things back to you. You will be cheated, deceived, harmed, killed, then a lot of other things. When we understand this, then we look at the teaching. The Buddha, under the five daily contemplation, the fifth one, he make it very clear about this law of karma. He said, not only you reap what you sow, is it? Each and every one of us, all living beings, not only human beings, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you understand this reality and truth, what must you do? Your life depends entirely on karma. Understand? You're born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of karma. You cannot blame anybody else. So to have the good life, what must you do? Take care of karma. Understand? And how do we take care of karma? You follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good. That's how you take care of karma. Then develop wisdom, purify your mind. When this teaching is understood, you can transform your life. You can do something to plan the causes and conditions for you to achieve things, realize things, and have all those things. And that is what the teaching is all about. And it's so beautiful. That's why when you understand this teaching, you know how to live. You know how to plan the causes and conditions for you to have the good life. So once you follow the advice of the Buddha, based on right view with regards to law of karma, your life will change. Your life will transform. There are many parts of the teaching that explain all this. Dhammapada verses 1 and 2. He said, our mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So you have to take care of mind. Because if you don't take care of mind, what happens is, Dhammapada verse 1, he says, if you were to act, speak, and think with a wicked mind, a deluded mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. If that is what you want, then go ahead and become heedless. Don't have to take care of your karma. Don't train your mind. Don't do anything to protect yourself. Continue your old foolish way. And then suffering will follow you. But the equivalent twin verse, the complementary twin verse, Dhammapada verse 2, is the opposite. He said, if you see the importance of taking care of this mind, then we choose to train our mind to be heedful, to be mindful, so that we can act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a pure mind, free of the delusion, self-delusion, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you do this, he said, happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. So life is very simple. You want to be happy? Train your mind to avoid all evil, do good. So that every moment of your action, speech, and thought process is wholesome, without the evil roots, without the delusion, without the selfishness, without the emotional negativity. Then your life will become beautiful. So if you understand this, it's easy to live life, isn't it? That's why the cause of suffering is self-delusion, leading to all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Self-delusion will create the personality and make you believe that you are real, you exist. And because of this egoic mind, personality, then you think wrongly. You don't have right view. You think you exist, so what will appear in your mind? Selfishness, greed, possessiveness. But you want to own things, you want to possess things, and you want to have things. And that is craving, desire. That's how you suffer. That is an evil root of all evil. Then the other aspect is, when you think you are real, when you cannot get what you want, you get angry, emotional. So anger, hatred, envy, jealousy come from this evil root. Then because you don't understand, sometimes things happen and you don't understand. Then you project your thought, you create the fear, the worry, the anxiety, sorrow and lament. And this is due to self-delusion. When you are deluded, when you don't understand, you develop the third evil root. The evil root of delusion. Delusion means you don't understand truth, you don't understand life. That's why a lot of things that happen in life you cannot solve, you cannot confront, you cannot deal. Then you end up in depression, sorrowful, miserable, especially health problem. Sometimes financial problem also can make you miserable. Then a lot of other type of life-related problem, when you go against the society's law, like those who commit theft, robbery, or CBT, CBT, white collar crime. So when you are under police case, especially those who go and smuggle drugs and other things. So when you entangle yourself with society's law, the police will come after you, the MACC will come after you. And I tell you, it's really hell when you are subject to all those things. Now the law is very, very well developed, very extensive. They have this new law. You heard of AMLA, not? AMLA, A-M-L-A. Anti-Money Laundering Act. Oh, that one is very powerful. That one, you don't commit CBT or one. You go after income that are not legal, underground activity or what. You can be charged for laundering money. whatever income that is not legal, you receive through illegal means, you can be charged. Even corruption money, when people bank in money into your account, I don't think it's a blessing. I don't think everything is donation. The law say, if you don't know who sent to you, don't use, report. And then you are safe. The moment you use, whatever reason also, you find very difficult to escape. You know, money laundering, the scope is very wide. Whatever money that you receive through illegal means not legal one, is considered as money laundering. Not like the washing machine. You put your money inside there like laundry. I don't know why they use laundry, money laundry. Clean up, clean up the clothing, clean up the money. Now I understand money laundering. So I am a remiser actually. I retired actually, but I like investment, so I became a remiser. So as a remiser, they say I have to attend AMLA course. Every year I must attend at least one or two, I forgot, I think two. So every time I go there, that type of course, they will tell me a lot of story. The money laundering story. And all the names will come out. Some are Malaysian, some overseas. And nowadays, that law is so wide, so powerful. A lot of people get themselves nabbed. Do you realize nowadays, you go to the bank, you go and withdraw cash, above the know what amount, they question you. Or you go and deposit also same. They question you, where your money come from. And you have to show proof. Last time, Chipolian also bought the house. Then he go and pay cash. You go and withdraw EPN. No. Yeah, pass the mic to her. You there is a payment where you pay your money is from EPF or
no.
Your FD?
No.
Oh.
I take loan also.
Of course you take loan now, but there is a sum that you have to pay.
Of course.
Your house is 700 or 1,000.
Yeah.
You pay how much loan? You take how much loan?
I forgotten already. I'm still
about 60-70%, then the rest is cash, isn't it?
I buy a bank draft.
Yeah, you go and buy bank draft, that's why it's cash, understand? But it because you can prove it, isn't it? Your own saving, isn't it?
Yes, I worked so many years, already very old.
That's why what I'm trying to share is nowadays, you got money, also people question you. Not easy. Nowadays, you want to like receive corruption money, not easy. Because now they realize you go to the bank, they track you down. You break down into small amount also, the computer can track you. There's a pattern. So what they do? They go and rent condo, put in the condo, the money, the cash. When you want to buy the bank draft, now
ask,
you remember.
They ask, because previously also I withdraw, they don't ask. Then yeah. The time they ask, you take the money for what? So I'm thinking, I buy house ma, I take your loan from here.
He want you to show SIP, right?
They keep on asking me, on me that you want the money is for what? I'm buying house, I have to pay some money and take loan from your bank.
Yeah.
When I want to buy the bank draft.
Yes.
They really geez on me.
Yeah. Question you left and right.
And I ask the banker again, why you ask me this draft previously? Yeah. You don't ask, they say Bank Negara rules.
Yeah, Bank Negara rules. He's been polite, when he say Bank Negara rules. Do you know what will happen to you if you don't give them the answer? They will send your file up. They put you under SDR. You know what is SDR? Suspicion Transaction Report. Yeah. Now, hey, I teach you this one. You all didn't go for AMLA course, you don't know. This one I attended, I know. He said, the banking institution, and like mine, reminds here, investment bank institution, and a lot of the institution that collect money from people, like we all buy share, you have to deposit money. All these institutions, like the bank, you go and bank in money, withdraw money. These institutions are called reporting institution. You have to report. Whenever you suspect a client, the money, you don't know where he got it or where he is going to use it. He called it suspicious transaction report. You have to put up an SDR. If you don't put out SDR, you know what happens? The reporting institution will be fined when they realize that one of your client or whoever whom you didn't report, the money is illegal money, laundering money, means AMLA, anti-money laundering act. So if they cash the case like M-Bank, the M-Bank, big amount. You know how much was M-Bank fine? 45 million. For not reporting. That's why they are very scared. Kiasi. So they want to know. They question you first. So this is called due diligence. KYC. You know what is KYC? Know your client. So you. That's why Chiu Po Leng got very angry and questioned the officer. Why you ask so many questions? Oh, yeah lah. But it is not them who ask. It's actually they are very scared of the fine. Understand? So they have to do the due diligence. So due diligence is ask. If that person you ask, the suspicious person you ask, refuse to give you answer or give you irrelevant answer, then it's your duty to put our SDR. Suspicion transaction report. Means I don't know. This client seems suspicious. I don't know where he got the money. He don't want to tell me. And how he want to use the money, I also don't know. So he will send your SDR to Bank Negara. And do you know, when he reach Bank Negara, what will Bank Negara do? He will investigate on you. And nowadays, no need to call police, CID, or no need. The computer, he key in your IC and your name. Everything about you is all there. Foreign bank, local bank, everywhere. How much money you have, how much loan you have. Everything is there. So if you have too much money, you better be careful. Answer all the questions nicely. Don't go and achi acho with them. Understand? Because this act is very powerful. Very powerful. So don't get angry. Or become like unhappy. That's why Buddhist teaching very good. Noble Eightfold Path. Right speech. Right thought. Right action. Don't get angry. Don't go and become like bosong. Why you so kipo? My money. Where I get it also you must know. You want to copy how I make money. Oh, you answer like that, you kenal. They will send your report out. They say, never mind. Thank you. Thank you for your cooperation. Well, after that, the SDR form out. I tell you, you got more headache. You know, that form go out, not only Bank Negara check. No. After Bank Negara check, they send the income tax. No. Then after income tax, they interpol overseas. You know. Because they're supposed to, both sides. So, let's say you are a foreigner, you kena this, then they check, they realize you also got money in this country. They have to report to the country that you are from. That's why now, your overseas money not safe. So earlier on, there is a case in Australia. A Malaysian, I think, think with the police department or what, I forgot. He bank in small amount, no? Every time below that, you know, 9,000, 5,000 or 10,000, every time 9,000 something. But he do it all over the Australian ATM machine, no? Deposit cash. They track him down. They ask him to come over and lim kopi. He said, never mind, too troublesome. He don't want. He let them forfeit. One thing good about Amla, this is the other trick that they told us. If you don't know where the money come from, you just tell them, okay, you forfeit the money. Then no case. Yeah, really, no case. You surrender the money. That's why the government make a lot of money from Amla. Provided you say, I don't know from who. Or not my money. Then, okay, surrender, no case. But first time, okay, you know. Second time, different. Then sometimes they say, although they may accept, voluntary declaration. First time they let you off. But this one got no time bound. No such thing. After 7 years, I cannot bring up the case. It seems this one is for life. When they want to charge you, the file is already there. So don't try to argue with people. Be nice. Speak the truth. But most of us, no problem. All legal, because we are not underground. Most of us are okay. So don't go and fear all these things. That's why the teaching is very important. Right livelihood. Right livelihood. So don't go the crooked way. So this is one aspect of the teaching that can help you actually protect you from prosecution, from unnecessary problem and all those things. Then after the second noble truth, you will understand what is suffering, what is the cause behind suffering. If you understand these first two noble truths, then you can manage your life, isn't it? Well, if I understand what suffering is and the cause behind, I can come out of it, isn't it? True or not? That's what the teaching is all about. So I develop this understanding, then I straighten my view, then I liberate my mind. Then I know how to live life. I know how to free my mind. That's why third noble truth, the Buddha say, suffering need not be. Because there is a noble truth that explains clearly the possibility of enlightenment. Enlightenment in the here and the now. That is the third noble truth. Nibbana can be realized. Means when you understand this teaching, you can awaken. You can become an enlightened being. Then after that, there is another noble truth. The Buddha say, there is a path that can lead you to have that understanding and enlightenment. Namely, the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So that one will give you all the answer. Whatever problem you have, you follow Noble Eightfold Path. It will free your mind. So the teaching is so beautiful, so simple. So when you understand this Four Noble Truths, you understand life. You can make a difference to your life. You can upgrade your life. And you can become beautiful. Then, from the Four Noble Truths, all the other essential Dhamma teaching of the Buddha spin off from there. That's why this coming Sunday, first of March, I'll be giving a talk in SJBA again. Where they invited me to give a Sunday Dhamma talk. The title is Understanding the Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. So if you have time, you know the place, you can attend. So the talk actually starts at about 9 something. But they have puja at 9. So if you are there, you can attend the puja first. After the puja, I think about 9:30 or what, they will start. They will start. Then normally the talk is about 1 hour plus or 1 hour plus Q&A. So it should end by 11 something, I think. Definitely before 12. So that aspect of the teaching is also very useful. That's why I suggested that title. When I asked them what is the title, they say up to me. So I send this title over to Sui An. Then Sui An, he say, yeah, good. But you must also add in, because a lot of people nowadays panic, is it? Worry about coronavirus. He asked me to include that part. How to act as a Buddhist. How not to develop the fear and all those things. Because this coronavirus thing has created so much panic, unnecessary fear and worry. Instead of taking action, they kiasu, panic until they go and buy all the toilet roll, and they no more toilet roll. Then they go and stock up all the food. So all this is happening. That's why Sui An say, Teo, maybe you can also include this topic. I see how it goes. If there is condition, then I will speak on it. Otherwise, I will zero in on the Dhamma. More important. Okay, I think that aspect we have discussed enough. So it has covered the fundamental truth. Now we come back to where we stopped. Okay, the next paragraph. So we have finished the materialistic possession part. Can materialistic possession give one genuine happiness? So this one we know. If you don't have attachment, then yes. But if you have attachment, craving, then it become a problem. The next paragraph. Can dominance over the whole world produce true happiness? Alexander the Great, who triumphantly marched to India, conquering the land on the way, sighed for not having more pieces of earth to conquer. Are emperor and king who wear crowns always happy? Very often the life of statesmen who win power who win power are at stake. The pathetic cases of Mahatma Gandhi and Kennedy are illustrative example. Real happiness is found within and is not to be defined in terms of wealth, power, honor, or conquest. Actually, how do you find happiness? After studying the teaching for so long, can I ask you that question? How do you find happiness? You know it's not true possession. True possession, there is some form of happiness, but not lasting happiness. How do you find true happiness? Ah, yes. Pass the mic to Alicia. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Yes, who say contentment? Oh, very good. Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Yeah, yeah.
以前的我很多名牌包包，可是我不开心。
Very simple
And very beautiful.
Very good. Amitabha, sadhu, sadhu. That is very true. Do you understand why she can be in that state of mind? that she understood the Dhamma, then she has the gratitude and the joy and so on. After you understand the Dhamma, you really have the joy. Then everything to you is like very pristine. No? Pristine means even though that pumpkin could be something you have bought before, understand? Very common. But you don't really assume it's just pumpkin, look very good or bad like that. Everything you see is like so pristine. So that's why I like to look at things. And everyone is different. Every time I see things, it's different. That's why I don't preconceive, oh, handphone means handphone. When I hold a handphone, I really look. Like I told you, this house that I bought the neighbor, that I renovate, even after 10 years, I really can sit down and appreciate the house. Not to say I attach or what, no. Because the condition for it to arise and the way I plan it and how the contractor did it, it is so beautiful, understand? And that is really living life, understand? Having joy, having happiness, understanding. Then the other thing is about contentment. When you are contented, you are really happy, understand? Like Alicia earlier said, she last time, for many years, 16 years, she was in depression. And that time, life was miserable. And do you know what happened? Those that are depressed, they try to do things that they think can make them happy. So he got a lot of branded bags and all those things. But she realized that thing doesn't make her happy. But when she understands the Dhamma, simple thing make her happy, like the India trip. She got so much gratitude towards people who helped to prepare the food, give them the place to stay and all those things. Then he looked at nature, so much gratitude towards nature. Their appreciation, contentment, joy. Then simple life, like he said, they offer her just simple rice and one egg. Then she appreciated my wife give that type of sauce. She ate with joy, understand? Not necessarily nice food, expensive food, or special food. No need. Life can be so happy. Like Queenie also said that they all shared. So this is what Dhamma is. When you understand the Dhamma, your life different. You become very different. Not only you have contentment, you have gratitude, you have respect, you have joy, you have happiness. All this is never the mind state of suffering beings, understand? Especially depressed beings, people with depression. They are full of sorrow, unhappiness. The evil roots are there. That's why the teaching is very important. And over all these years, like I told you, the last 15 years especially, so many of these cases come. But for me, everyone is different. So I look, I can feel, I can sense, then I talk to them differently. Different people, I give different advice, different solution. And almost all of them came out so beautifully. Like Alicia, she got all those depression and suddenly appear in my house. Become Vincent, I think. The good friend, Vincent and the wife. They were good family friends. Told me about her case. I said, if she want to come, then can. Let her come. Then after many months, nothing happened. Then suddenly she turned down. That was 7 years ago. Suddenly came in. The moment he stepped into the house, I can feel the depression, the fear, the sadness, everything. Then she dare not lift the head. She sat like one corner with the head on it. Then immediately when I started the sharing, a typical Tuesday class on it, I focused on the first and second noble truth only. But then when I talked more on wrong thought and wrong thing, then she realized, suddenly I saw her can smile. Not really that very very, very big smile. The slight smile is like you can feel that she like suddenly saw there is the light at the end of the tunnel. Means somebody who can explain to her her problem, what she is going through. You know, when I focus on the wrong thought, she realized all those were the thoughts that she was thinking and having. That's how she became depressed. Then later on, she chased after Sui An for the recording. Then he keep on listening or traveling every. Then he starts to straighten her view. Then she changed. She starts to develop this opposite wholesome thought. No more of this wrong thought. Well, I just explained to her, wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your deep unhappiness and resentment. Then she realized all this was what she was doing. She never appreciate anybody or do anything that is virtuous. That's why later on she start by having virtuous thought, developing more and more gratitude, contentment, then go out and help people. Then develop the joy and all. That's how she slowly come out. Then after she understand the teaching, she has a past life cultivation. Then she starts to develop the cultivation. Last time, the first two retreat, I remember, she got gastric problem one because of the depression. Food problem and all those things. Then cannot go to retreat one actually. After a while, a few days, you want to come back and see. Because cannot take it. But then my retreat was okay. But he attended another retreat, not under me, under another monk. I think she almost cannot take it. I don't know if she went back or what. 你是回 or you stay on finally? 忘记了. Yeah, 是在 Cameron, I remember. So these are the understanding that you can develop and have if you understand this Buddhist teaching. The teaching of the Buddha is very, very unique, very beautiful. And ever since she changed and transformed, a lot of people can see. A lot of people can see. Her Filipino, I think Freddie's good friend, Teddy. Teddy, is it? The Filipino. Teddy. Then the Macau friend also same. And then Elsie, I remember Elsie told me, last time he used to help Alicia when she was in depression. She's a good listener, a good friend also. Then later on when she saw her recover, actually Elsie's sister saw, said, how come your friend Alicia is so different now? So cheerful and so happy. No more like last time. Then because of that, she was curious and she, I think, was also advised by Alicia, why not you come and attend Brother Teo's talk? Then she came. After she came, after the first sharing, she knew already. She told Alicia, no need to search. This is the one. And the faith very strong. That's why this teaching can transform your understanding of life and make you so beautiful. Okay, thank you so much. Sadhu. To Alicia and to Polian. So today we cover not much. Got one page or not? Oh, didn't. Okay, one more minute. I read the paragraph. Let us finish. If such worldly possessions are forcibly or unjustly obtained, or are misdirected, or even viewed with attachment, they will be a source of pain or sorrow for the possessor. What is happiness to one may not be happiness to others. What is meat and drink to one may not be, may be poison to another. The Buddha enumerated four kinds of happiness for the lay people. They are happiness of possession, ati sukang. Then this one is namely health, wealth, longevity, beauty, joy, property, strength, children, etc. Then the second source of happiness is ability to make use of your wealth or whatever you legally earn for the well-being of others and yourself, for the happiness of all. So that is the second type of joy. You know how to use your wealth to benefit yourself, your family members, your friends, your relatives, and people whom you can help. Then the third type of happiness is to be free from debt. When you got no more debt, you can have the means pay off all your debts. Last one is live a blameless life. You can do that. You also become beautiful, free from debt. So at least we cover those two pages. Okay, so now we will do the sharing of merit, transfer merit, then we end. Okay. Akasata Jabata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sapasampati Sidiya Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo wasatukalena sasa sampati heto cha. Fito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko ibina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.